and welcome to episode 69. Nice. Of Divided by Werewolves, where we're always immature.
That's right.
That is a given. March is almost done. Can you fucking believe it?
I know.
I mean, at the time this thing goes up, it may be April already. I don't remember. I'm not entirely clear what day today is.
Not quite. If it goes up tomorrow as usual, we'll still have 2 days left or two or three days left.
So. Okay. You hear that, folks? You still got time. But yeah, the whole quarter of the year, just dunsies.
Yeah.
Spring break around the corner.
Shit. I didn't think about it in like those regards is like a quarter of the year. Fucking shit already.
Yep, quarter of the year, just done. What have I got to show for it? Fuck all.
Fuck all.
Per usual. Yeah. So we got a bunch of stuff to get into. I know some movies I know I've been waiting to talk about since the minute I walked out of the theater.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to that quick, but Mitch and I have been tearing up the streets at Washington, D.C.
Damn right.
Division 2 continues, for me anyway, to be a love-hate relationship.
Yeah. Honestly, I like this one way more than I did the first one, and I've really been struggling to put my finger on what exactly it is, mm-hmm. because I was so bored with the first one. And for whatever reason, this one I'm not.
I feel like the mission, like just kind of like where the missions are.
Yeah,
just
that's a big part of it.
I mean, the different museums and just kind of landmarks of Washington, D.C., I feel just lend themselves to more creative right. kind of level design and encounters, even if it is just, you know, you go into an area, you shoot a bunch of guys, you move on to the next area. But just the yeah. way that it looks and the Museum of American History, where you're like on a minigun and the Vietnam dioramas behind
yes.
you, you can hear the chopper
yes.
sounds, and, you know, and it's like they just in the first one, it was. I mean, it was just New York City. It's like, okay, here's a building. Okay, well, here's another building. Okay, right. you know. So
exactly that was my experience. And when I visited my brother in New York, like everything's just fucking gray.
Yeah,
and it's boring. And I guess that's what it is. It has to be because the gameplay, at least as far as I remember, is almost identical to. I mean, I think the enemies are a little less bullet spongy in 2.
Yeah, I feel like they are. I feel like when they are bullet spongy, you know, it somewhat makes sense. Like, okay, here's a purple guy. You can tell he's got armor. This guy's got a fuck yeah. ton of armor. You know, so that, you know, in that situation, it kind of makes sense. Yeah. You know, whereas in the first one, it was like, oh, here's just a guy in a hoodie. He's just a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to shoot him. It takes 3 clips to down
yeah.
him.
Yeah. 45 minutes later, you're like, are you done? No, you're not done? Okay, cool. So, yeah, I definitely feel like it's more kind of appropriate. And they I don't know if appropriate is the right word. I think they just, the visual cues they give you to let you know this guy's going to fuck up your shit then goes along with why it would take, you know, a lot
right.
more effort. And I'm at level 19, so I got 11 levels left before I can do the end, and then the end game stuff starts. And I was reading about the end game, and that stuff sounds completely fucked up.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, the way that everything just goes and changes on you. But, you know, the thing is, I've noticed even just, you know, what would be, you know, almost 2/3 of the way the level cap, just the enemies are starting to, like, they use your gadgets against you.
Yes.
Like, yep, you know, yep. I had a guy with a fucking foam launcher. It was hilarious because he knew how to use it about as well as I do. And so he was just, like, spraying it all over the place. Just,
yeah.
you know, and just, you know, teenage...
Yeah.
smelled like teen spirit is what it did.
Yeah.
Right. Just everywhere. All over the place. And but accomplished nothing. You know? Just
yeah.
I was like, oh yeah, no, I'm still kind of walking around. And I actually, you know, the foam launcher was one of the third, I think, skill I unlocked, because I was like, you know what, when these bosses are trying to truck up on my turret, I'm gonna stick them in place. Nope.
No.
Not even close. I was like, oh, I just wasted a skill. Cool, 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 cool. All right. Back to that checkpoint. But I do find it frustrating because I'll have certain missions where, and like, so the way the game scales things is that story missions are at a set level. side missions always scale to your level. Mm-hmm. And I'll do, you know, like a story mission that's like three levels below me. And, I mean, it fucking takes me forever. And then I'll do a side mission that's level scaled to me, and I just whip right through it. I don't... Huh. I mean, have you found that, or are you pretty much just trucking through everything?
No, I said when we were playing the other night, there were some side missions that completely whipped my ass.
Yeah.
And, but I've had no trouble with any story mission so far, like, not really. The worst thing that I've come across, honestly, that's been a pain in my ass was the fucking not the stronghold, but the when you can take over
points.
Yes,
yeah.
Good God, there was one control point that I spent. God, it must have been almost 2 hours because mm-hmm. I kept fucking dying. Oh, I was so aggravated.
Yeah, but
like, and I wouldn't think that would be that's a side activity, not even a side mission.
Yeah.
So right. I would have thought that would have been – I was like, yeah, I got a few minutes. I'll do that right now. Like, nope.
I can't tell you how many times I've used the fact that your allies will continue assaulting the control point like, while you're dead and running back. I'm like, keep at it, guys. I'll be back.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know they would – see, I didn't know they would do
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you have to eliminate the first leader and then send up the flare.
You don't have to send up the flare once you eliminate the first leader. You send up the flare as soon as you get there. There's a red circle around the whole territory.
Oh,
as soon as you cross that circle, you'll see the prompt to send up the flare. You can do that as soon as you get there.
Well, that would have made it a whole lot goddamn easier.
Yeah. And then they'll keep assaulting it. If you die, they'll keep assaulting it, and you can run back. And they'll still be doing it while you're, you know, whatever, coming back to life, I guess.
Yeah, like literally everyone that I've done the first part all by myself, then called for help to hold off when it says hold the point.
Uh-huh.
Like I do the first half solo because I thought that's how you had to do it.
Oh, gosh, no.
So that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. Now. Well, that'll get a whole lot easier now.
I think so. We'll see.
Yeah, true.
But I mean the you know, for a gamer, they're like, well, there's no it's apolitical. I mean, it's just the story still is kind of garbage. It's just like, you know, we're out on the street killing people to take the city back. Well, who are you killing? Well, these other soldiers who are also out on the street killing people to take the city back. Well, what's the difference? I don't know.
You're in a group that calls themselves the Division.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they don't have a watch. That's the difference. Okay. So, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, you're just kind of like, all right, it's not great. I mean, it's not like in the first one where you're like, I don't think we should be shooting teenagers in hoodies, like in general, but we really now shouldn't have enemies be in hoodie.
Oh,
like,
shit,
that's just not a, no. But, you know, it's still just kind of questionable. I guess would be the right word, but you know, I think for the most part, you just kind of go, "Oh, that's fine." You know, like the weirdos in the gas masks that try to bum rush you. Like then you'd be like, "Well, they're freaky." That's like a Mad Max thing. It's still we're completely, you know, don't care about due process. We're just going to kill them, and that's fine. But you know, I don't know. It you just don't think about it too much.
That's best.
and it's funny to me that they, I mean, Ubisoft, I love Ubisoft. Most of the games I play are Ubisoft games, but they just, you know, they really do feel like, to me, it feels like they really feel the need to go out of their way to try to be as apolitical as possible, but yet try to tell stories that are kind of, you know, have a political bent to him. Like a perfect example, you know, we talked about this before was Far Cry 5. You know, here you've got a guy, he's a fundamentalist. He's a, you know, like a wackadoo. And you have an opportunity to maybe talk about kind of the rise of fundamentalism in this country and, you know, or maybe, you know, how it affects other countries and what that does to people and all that stuff. And they're just like, nope, you can run around with a dog, you know, you know, and they just, you know, they just really, I mean, and I get it, you know, they don't want to have to worry about pissing, you know, at the end of the day, they need to get paid.
Yep.
And they don't want to risk not getting paid because they took a stance that some fucking neckbeard finds objectionable. Like, Right. So they just go, you know what? We're just not going to take any stance. We're gonna have these just kind of vaguely, you know, modern stories, but we're going to go way out of our way to make sure that it doesn't have, you know, it doesn't say anything meaningful.
Which, right.
Okay, I guess. But you know, the gunplay is real good.
Yeah.
Gunplay is good. I mean, the mission variety is good. It does difficult, and it seems like they, you know, I've said before, I give Ubisoft a lot of credit because they do support their games for a long time post-release. Yeah. And this is another example of that. Like, there is, you know, the entire first year's worth of content is free. Mm-hmm. You know, you can buy a pass and get access to stuff early or whatnot, but if you just want to get the new strongholds and the new specialization classes, you just got to get the game and play it. So I, you know, and they don't have to do that. They certainly can, you know.
In today's fucking modern gaming, no, of course they don't.
Right. But I think they know that, you know, they've seen, okay, with Rainbow Six and Wildlands and For mm-hmm. Honor, that, you know, if we just keep putting, you know, the important thing is to keep people playing the game. Don't have them play something else. Don't have them trade it in. Just have them keep playing right. the game. So if we give them stuff, then we encourage them to do that, and then we can charge them for other stuff, then that's what we want.
Right. And also to Ubisoft's credit, I feel like, because I kind of feel like other publishers, and I don't want to get into the whole debate with this shit, but at least Ubisoft always seems to, at least if you're only interested in what you bought day one, at least it's a complete product for the most part.
Right.
You know, Rainbow Six was done when it came out. Ghost Recon was done when it came out. Like, it's not like Anthem. It's not like all these other games that they're like, we'll fix it with a patch, you know, down the road or whatever.
Right.
Or, you know, it's not obviously a not finished game when Ubisoft puts something out, whereas a lot of other studios are just, they'll put out something that's clearly not done and be like, yeah, we'll fix it later.
You know what? I really feel like for them, that moment, like with Unity, with Assassin's Creed Unity, like they learned that, you know, and not to say
that's
that
true.
They don't,
I forgot about that one.
They don't potentially put their development staff through some, you know, serious crunch time. I'm not saying that at all. But, you know, I definitely feel like they kind of learned that that's not, you know, in the end, the goodwill that you lose by rushing something out is not worth, you know, maybe getting something out at a particular time or whatnot. But speaking of Far Cry, I did actually start Far Cry New Dawn because I had a night when I don't remember what. Oh, I couldn't log into the Division. You had said to me before that you had issues kind of logging in, and I was like, oh, that never happens to me. And then I had, it was like that night I couldn't log in, and so, you know, I had rented Far Cry New Dawn and also Ace Combat 7, and I just, New Dawn was the one that just happened to be in the drive, and I mean, it is a Far Cry game. You know, I just, you know, I'm not a big, I still watch it for reasons even I don't understand. I'm by no means a fan of The Walking Dead anymore, but just the fucking Neganification of villains that it just seems like every property seems like, feels like they need to do now, it just irritates me to no end. And this game in the Twins, you know, has that, where the two kind of crazy sisters, and, you know, they kill people and whatever. And I don't know, it kind of bugged me from the start. And then there were just, it felt like there's so many similarities between it and just the original Far Cry beyond just the setting.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just kind of like, it's fine for filler, but I just, it's not like it's a you know, like a Blood Dragon type of situation where you're like, okay, well, you're kind of reskinning things, but there's, you know, there's like a stylistic reason and a tongue-in-cheek reason for doing it. It's just like, no, you know, we have this map. Spent money on fucking people making it, so we're just going to, you know, keep on using it.
That's something I thought was interesting about Far Cry 5 was that the DLC was like the Blood Dragon kind of stuff. If you bought the pass, like all of that stuff felt like the Blood Dragon-y shit. And then this felt completely unnecessary to me. And apparently to a lot of people, because it's down to $20 after it's been out for, what, a month maybe?
Yeah, it's funny because I usually, like, for me, I don't, like, feel like I necessarily have to justify Gamefly. But I you know, I go, hey, if I'm spending, you know, like, if I'm spending $25 a month, so if I rent, you know, X number of games, $60 games, then it pays for itself. But I'm like, shit, Far Cry, like, you're totally fucking up the math here.
You know, like, right.
like, it's cheaper for me to buy you. What the fuck?
Right.
Like, it's, you know, it is, you know, I feel like it's perfectly fine as something, you know, like, in the situation that I'm kind of using it. I don't think it's really all that great of a game. And I certainly, aside from just like, oh yeah, look at that, I'm back at the Fang Center or whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not, you know, like, I've been, but, you know, does anybody really have that strong of a connection to that game that they're like, can't wait to go back, you know?
Right. Yeah, especially just a few months after most people probably finally got around to finishing it, and they're like, hey, here's more. Like, no, like, it has need a longer time. I don't know. It's really weird to me because they don't generally do this. There's always a Far Cry every year or whatever.
Right.
But it's not, it's usually different. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's just,
no, odd. I agree. I don't understand it either. And I was like, and it doesn't feel like it's that, honestly, that much different than what, like, at least, again, if you go with something like Blood Dragon, where you're like, okay, right, I can see the difference. You know, I can understand the difference. I cannot understand the difference here.
Right.
Or what, you know, what they're, you know, kind of what they're trying to do. It feels like a cash grab, except for the fact that, yeah, they probably spent a fuck ton of money working on this game.
Right, and nobody's buying it.
And nobody's buying it, right. So you're like, okay, yeah, well, I guess that's one way to do it. But, you know, I'm looking forward at some point to getting into Ace Combat 7. I just, you know, like I said, I just haven't yet. So, you know, I'm not... I haven't played a fighting, listen to me. I haven't played a flying game in God knows how long. Like, that had gravity.
Yeah.
You know, I play Starlink, but I don't think that counts.
Yeah, no, that's, from what I played, you just kind of hover around. Like.
So, it'll be kind of interesting to see kind of how that goes. I mean, it is, for me, honestly, I got it because I wanted the VR stuff.
I'm going to pick it up for $20 just so I can do the VR.
You know, I don't have any intention of, you know, if I start it up and I'm just like, this game's hard or whatever, and I don't, whatever, it's fine. I don't give a fuck. I'm not going to worry about it at all. All right. So for you, just Division 2, is that it?
Yeah, I'm not playing anything. I started Astrobot Rescue.
Oh, okay, yep.
And holy shit, is that
fucking
amazing.
That's a great game.
It's amazing. That game should be the pack-in with the VR.
It really should.
I feel like that game is to the PSVR what Mario 64 was to the N64. It's a perfectly accessible, but also like... a showcase for what the hardware is capable of.
Yeah.
But like, anybody can play it and have a great time. There's a challenge there if you're, you know, a hardcore gamer and you want to rescue all the bots in every mission, this and that. Or if you're just casual and, you know, you want to make a little cute robot guy run around and jump and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, it's literally a game anybody could play and everybody should play.
Yeah, and if you want to watch too, like if you want to be a spectator and help people find, oh, there's a chameleon, hey, there's the bot, you know, there's stuff there too.
Yeah, Katie's currently hooked on it, and I've been watching with her too, so we both been playing it.
Yeah, I mean it is. I mean, you are absolutely right. It's a fantastic way to. And I've talked to my wife about just some of the mission design and the levels and stuff, and you know, the way it kind of plays with verticality in a way you know you wouldn't necessarily be able to do in kind of a traditional game and and all that. So yeah, no, it was you know, I need to get back into it. I can't do it for really long periods of time because it makes me feel sick. But
okay.
But yeah, I need to get back into it. And of course, they just announced a whole shit ton of VR stuff. So
yeah,
it's good to see that they're, you know, I mean, I know that if you look at how many people have bought the system as a percentage of the PS4 install base, it's pretty small. But you know, they've trucked over 4 million units. So
right, exactly,
that's good.
Well, I don't know a single person who has the VR who says it sucks. It doesn't like it.
So. Yeah, me neither. Me neither. All right. So, movies. All right. So, first one, will you want to do Concrete first?
Sure.
Okay. So, S. Craig, is it Zoller? Is that how you say it?
Zoller is what I say. I don't know if that's right or not.
So, if you've ever listened to the show before, you know how much we both just absolutely love this guy's movies. Bone Tomahawk, fucking fantastic horror, Western horror, whatever you want to call it. Brawl in Cellblock 99, just a fucking nasty crime.
Yeah. You
know, male caged heat kind of prison brawl movie. Yep. And so I read about this movie online, but then also Tom reviewed it when it hit. He, you know, I read, okay, this guy who's done these just really kind of hyper violent, almost, I'm not going to say they're necessarily period pieces, but they're, I guess, genre piece would be the way to call it.
So. Yeah.
You know, comes out with a 2.5 hour long kind of crime drama with Mel Gibson as a racist detective and Vince Vaughn as his younger partner, which it's probably been a minute since Vince Vaughn has been the younger person in the movie.
Right.
And how they, you know, in need of money, kind of decide to stage a robbery and how it all goes from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I need to see this movie. But I was also hesitant because I think, like maybe a lot of people, it's kind of hard to separate Mel Gibson, the actor, from Mel Gibson, the very public person. But then you're like, well, but what it feels like is that this is a movie where Mel Gibson is basically being Mel Gibson.
Yep.
So you're kind of like, all right. And I mean, so I kind of went into it not really knowing what to expect. And despite it being as long as it was, I mean, I thought it was fucking great.
Yeah, I did too. I loved it. And I knew nothing. I saw the name of the film come up under, Craig Zoller's, IMDb.
Oh, really?
That's all I needed to know.
Yeah.
I was like full on blackout. I didn't care who was in it. Like, I saw the cast, but still, I didn't want to know anything about the plot whatsoever. So I had no idea what it was about.
Really?
When I watched it. Yeah, I had no clue. Hadn't seen the trailer, didn't read a plot synopsis. I wanted no idea what it was going to be about.
And I feel that, you know, like, and you really should go read Tom's review, because that's just like all of Tom's reviews. It's exceptional. But, you know, one of the points that Tom made, and I think he was absolutely right, is that this movie, you might look at it and go, ugh, 2.5 hours. It absolutely needs the length that it does.
Yep. Yeah. I don't feel like, no, I and it didn't feel like 2.5 hours to me.
No,
it went by for me really quickly.
But it sets things up in a way that you're not entirely positive what exactly it is happening in terms of. There's a number of characters, and you don't really know kind of how they're going to connect in with things.
Yep.
And then once you figure it out and it all comes together, it just it moves. But my God, it is absolutely cruel in some cases in how it sets up certain ancillary characters who literally are on screen for maybe 15 minutes.
Yep.
But that 15 minutes will fucking tear your heart out.
Yes, sir.
I was telling my wife about it. And like any conversation I have with my wife about movies I watch, she's like, why are you watching this? And I kind of told her what happened in this one scene in the bank and how it got set up. And she was like, but that just seems cruel. And I was like, oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was. as I have often read in reference to our current presidential administration, the cruelty is the point.
Yeah, is that right?
The only thing I don't have a very – and as Oliver has said, he is not making a statement with this movie, not with who's in it, not with what it's about. Mm-hmm. I don't – and maybe this is just me not – I mean, I should believe him, right? He made it.
Sure.
I feel like there's – I don't know if I necessarily fully believe that or if that's just something he's saying because it – you know, like how we talked about with Ubisoft.
Right.
You know, it is in his best interest to not because right. – I have friends who are conservative or lean conservative, and we typically don't talk politics because I am very much very vocal about being a progressive or a liberal or a libtard or whatever, however, cuck, yeah. Whatever you want, however you want to say it.
Right.
So I don't spend a lot of time with people who talk about conservatism much. I felt like some of the things that came out of Mel Gibson's mouth is how you would write a conservative if you were trying to write like a caricature
right.
of a conservative and yeah. not necessarily a conservative.
Yep. Also, his wife.
Laurie Holden.
Laurie Holden, too. A couple of things she said.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I was just like, you know, part of me was like, I don't know if that was just, you know, maybe, I don't know. I don't want to say it was bad writing or bad research because everything else that this guy's done, I feel like has been real. Like, I think Bone Tomahawk has some, and Bone Tomahawk, you know, the interesting thing about that movie is that they, you know, it really does play on this idea of, oh, okay, like, yeah, these guys are quote unquote savages. So we're going to go, you know, civilize them. But, you know, I mean, when you consider what, you know, white people did, you know, they committed genocide against native people. It's like, right, you know, right. you really don't have a leg to stand on. And
right.
as the movie progressed, you really didn't have a leg to stand on. but like in this movie, I kind of felt like the very first, like when they're in the restaurant and Mel Gibson goes, is this a guy or a girl singing this song? And I'm like, he's right. not asking that because he really likes the song. You're and he's right. just curious about the band. And then Vince Vaughn goes, as far as I'm concerned, you know, that line got obliterated when men started saying, we're pregnant.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that tells you that and the fact that the waitress clearly hates these two guys.
Right.
Like, yep. clearly she has to sit here and fucking hear their bullshit every day. Mm-hmm. And she can't fucking stand them. Like, that to me tells you kind of what you needed to know about them. But then some of the other stuff, yeah, that like Mel Gibson would say and Laurie Holden would say, you're kind of like, but that doesn't sound necessarily like, I think, somebody who, like, written like they're trying to express a particularly nuanced line of conservative thought. It almost seems mm-hmm. more like how you would think conservatives would talk if
true,
you were maybe yeah. predisposed to not liking them in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And I don't know – sorry, I keep taking pauses to booze up. and I don't know if that's – if that was like on purpose or if it was – because the movie does have a particular like language of its own. Like when – you know, particularly when Mel Gibson and Vince Vaughn are in the car kind of talking to each other, it's not like, you know, super like formalized like Brick or like
yeah.
Oh shit, the guy who did The Lobster and Killing of Sacred Deer, like where, you know, you're kind of using like that language is there to mm-hmm. to almost yes, set the movie
right.
like a part of outside of kind of here. But they did have the way they talked to one another, you know, it was almost like and it wasn't like the type of, you know, like vocabulary you would expect between partners who are used to hanging out together. So they just yeah. have their kind of, you know, it felt very stylized in kind of how mm-hmm. they would talk to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. It was super interesting. Like Vince Vaughn's little catchphrase, if something was going wrong or bad or whatever,
yeah.
I can't remember what it was now, but like, I was like, did he just say what? Like yeah. sardines or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And just like when they were talking about, you know, like when they actually went to do the robbery and he's, you know, he was telling them to like, you know, build the gun, just kind of the way, you know,
yeah, yeah.
the way they would talk to each other was really, really cool.
They were certainly quirky. Like Bill Gibson with his percentages all the time and shit like that.
Yeah. But you know, I was concerned because I was like, well, I don't want to watch him. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, I can understand why you wouldn't want to spend a bunch of time with some racist guy, you know. Like, I totally would get that. There's enough of that as it is. Sure. So I was like, I wasn't sure kind of how I would feel about it, you know, and if it would be, if I would, you know, kind of find it not, I mean, anytime you watch a movie like this, I don't know if enjoyable is the right word, but.
Yeah, I understand.
but I thought it was great. Like, and there was still plenty of ambiguity as to, like, you know, who certain people were and that type of thing. And it just, I don't know. I just really enjoyed it. I thought it worked really, really well. And it was, you know, for his previous two movies being as, you know, kind of hyper violent as it was, like this movie, when the violence happened, because it was so infrequent, it was, I mean, you felt it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. This is one of those movies. They're not all this way for me, but this is one of those ones where I felt the gunshots, every single one of them.
Yeah.
Every one. I was like, good God.
Yeah. And I thought, and Tom, in Tom's review, you know, he says this movie has the best use of the N word since Blind Spotting or Sorry to Bother You. I have not seen Sorry to Bother You, but Blind Spotting, I know exactly the scene that he's talking about in Blind Spotting. And I mean, absolutely right. Like, I laughed.
Yeah, I did too.
I thought it was great. I mean, it was just you know, it was interesting to see him make this kind of movie, because I don't know if you had told me before that this was the type of thing he was going to make, I would have wanted to see it. I don't know if based on what I'd seen from him before, I would have felt that he could have pulled it off.
Yeah.
There's certainly
this is the least Zoller thing that I've seen, you know. I mean, I've only seen the couple of things he's done before, but I was genuinely surprised at a lot of this movie, because there were things that I kept waiting for. This one's the most Tarantino movie that I've seen, because I think that he and Tarantino have a lot of similar filmmaking qualities. Mm-hmm. This one really drove the dialogue and the complex story. It did have the hyperviolence, and like you said, like when it does, it's few and far between, man. But when it happens, Jesus Christ! But it was like the humor I didn't expect, because there's no humor in his other two films.
No.
This one, I laughed at a good bit of it, you know, and it, whether intentionally or not, it was interesting to me that this one had almost more of a personality than the other two, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Just with the quirky characters and the so much dialogue and so many, and it was interesting how characters would be, like you said, introduced in varying points of this 2.5 hour movie, who you may not see again for an extended period of time, but it all wraps up like in such a, I don't want to, not rewarding, but it made sense, and it all was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, I just feel like, while, yeah, I would take another Brawl in Cell Block 99 any day of the week, this is a completely, like, this opens a whole can of worms for me for this guy.
Yeah.
And I can't fucking wait to see what he does next.
And that, I think that's what it was for me too, was to go, oh shit, yeah, okay, cool. You know, like, what else can you do? What else
exactly?
Because he wrote it, he directed it. Like, what else do you got in there? Mm-hmm. You know, let's see. You know,
yeah, exactly.
That's a really awesome feeling to be like, okay, cool. You know, I want to know what else you're gonna do.
Mm-hmm. Ben Wheatley, same way with Ben Wheatley. Ben Wheatley does movies that no movie that Ben Wheatley has done has been the same as the one before it. But I fucking loved every one of them.
Now, what has he done? Remind me.
Did Free Fire, I think, was the last thing he did. Shit, if you hadn't asked me, he did a movie. Let me see. Yeah, Free Fire was the last one. He did Kill List. That's the first thing I saw. He did Sightseers.
I don't know if I know these. I'll have to look him up.
Definitely. Highly recommended. High Rise. That's the other one I was thinking of. But yeah, Kill List was his kind of first, maybe not. He did some TV before, but Kill List was the first thing I saw. And that movie's goddamn brutal. That movie does things with a claw hammer that I can never unsee. but then Sightseers is completely different. It's a comedy. And it has the kid from Deadpool 2, the fat kid. He's in that movie with – oh, shit. I'm drawing all kinds of blanks tonight. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That movie's fucking good. And then, like I said, yeah, I really liked Free Fire. High Rise was okay, but out of everything that I've seen, definitely Kill List, Sightseers, and Free Fire are fucking amazing.
All right, well, I'll have to check them out. So you know, check it out. It's on video on demand. You don't have to go to a theater if it's not playing by you. You can watch it on, like, you know, whatever, you know, all the streaming type things, if that's your way to go ahead and do this stuff. But definitely check it out. I think that, you know, I think it's worth the time. Okay. So, next movie, and you know what? Fucking Jordan Peele, if you don't ever got to put a white person in any of your movies. I don't give a fuck. So I left us. Okay, so I held the door for this guy going into the movie. And I saw he went into the restroom with me. And he was washing his hands next to me. And I said, "Did you understand that?" And he laughed and he goes, "No." He's like, I'm asking myself, what did I just watch? I did not get it when I was watching it. I didn't get it when I was done. I'm so glad I read up on this movie. Obviously, when you read up on a movie, you're reading somebody else's interpretation of it. Yeah. But it really, most of the time, you know, I have in the past kind of taken the tack, like, well, if I got to read something to explain your movie, you know, I don't know, maybe it wasn't as effective. In this case, I take that. I'm not going to take that tack at all.
Yeah, I did the same. Like, I felt like I got it pretty well.
I got tied up on, I don't know if minutia is the right word, but I got tied up, I guess, on the logistics, so to speak, of the tethers.
Yeah. I agree. But I mean, and maybe that's where I didn't. I was kind of like, yeah, okay. That's what it is.
I mean, we're going to have to spoil it.
We don't have to. I mean, yeah, to really, really get into it, we're going to have to. So spoiler warnings for us. But, I don't know. I kind of wish I was surprised that it explained as much as it did, to be honest. I didn't think it was going to. I thought it was going to be one of those things, and I almost kind of wish it had been this way, that they just show up and shit goes down, and it, like Romero's zombie movies, they don't need to explain why. You just accept that this is what it is, and here's the story that we're presenting in this particular scenario, and enjoy yourself for an hour and a half or whatever it is. Like, I was really shocked that they explained as much as they did.
So here's what I didn't understand. Okay, and this is where I started getting hung up. So the central point of this movie is that there were these, you know, the doubles are, they're called tethers, and they were clones created by some group, we don't know what group, designed to control people. They were raised in these tunnels that exist under the United States, and they were created for the purpose of controlling people above ground. And then they decide we're not doing that anymore, and they rise up.
Yeah.
But I was confused. Here's where I started getting hung up, because I was like, okay, so how often were they cloned? Here's what I understand. Was like, okay, so, like, you know, when Adelaide had her babies, did that mean that, were they cloning her babies, or did her clone also have a baby. Like, that's where, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's where I started getting confused.
Yeah, you're right.
Because I was like, but they wouldn't, how the hell, like, how long have they been doing this? How were they cloning people? Were they keep, like, every new kid that's born, what are they coming up and getting DNA from them? Or did it mean that if she, and because in the above ground, her and her husband got together, that meant her and that clone got together, and so they had the exact same kids? But that's not how it works. Like, that, I just, once I just kept getting hung up on that part of it. I just was like, I don't get it.
No, you're right. You're 100% right. There are plot holes aplenty in this whole, because once you start going down that rabbit hole of cloning and shit like that, like it's very easy to write yourself into a corner. And I think he kind of, Jordan Peele knew that. And I think that he kind of hoped that, I don't know, man. I feel like, sure, there are people that are going to evaluate the film down to that level, but I think that's not necessarily the entire point or the story.
No, and I know it's not. It's just, that's what I was getting hung up on. I was getting hung up on.
You're 100% right. Yeah. I don't know either. Like, I don't know the answer to that.
The particulars, the logistics, I guess, if you will, of the existence of this group of people.
Yeah.
More than I ever have. Like, if I'm watching a Jason movie, I'm not like, well, wait a minute. Like, I, you know what I mean? And so it, and I don't know why. And it didn't bother me. I wasn't like, you know, going, oh, okay, well, this, you know, this really bugs me because of this, that, or the other. It's just, that's the part that I didn't get.
Yeah. I can see that. Okay. Like, I was like, pretty straightforward to me, but, you know, I could see that though. I didn't really, because that's, you know, I don't know. I really didn't think about that too much, I guess.
But also, like, I must have missed the part where, you know, she said that, you know, they were created to control people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I missed that part when they were in the big exposition dump, because, you know, I was also like, well, wait a minute. Like, what the, why? Like, it doesn't, why would you even go through all that? So I think I missed that part as well. And so then, you know, when I read about that, I was like, oh, okay, that makes more sense, that, you know, they're the reason behind,
yeah,
you know, why they would do it,
right?
And then, you know, I mean, and then when you start kind of reading more about it and the particular, you know, particularly like the you know, Hands Across America kind of factors in very heavily, like, you know, Hands Across
That was my thing. Again, God damn it. And I genuinely hope that Jordan Peele doesn't go down this road, because I saw a thing where somebody was like, the next M. Night Shyamalan or whatever.
And I don't agree with that.
That would be incredibly it would just be incredibly disappointing to me if there has to be a twist in every one of his movies, especially considering the first two, I guess, the twist, like, right off the fucking
bat. See, and I don't feel like there was a twist in Get Out. Yeah. I mean, I feel like the twist in Get Out was, I mean, I don't feel like there was one. I think it was, this is what was going on. I don't feel like that was a twist any more than, you know, if you watch a horror movie and they reveal why the killer is the killer.
True, true.
I mean, I feel like Get Out was way more straightforward than Us was.
Yeah, I'll give you that. But and maybe twist isn't the right word for that movie in particular, because, like, it's just the thing where I was like, when we did our Get Out review, I knew what was going on because I saw that one thing in the fucking trailer, and I was like, oh.
What was the thing you saw? Because I can't remember.
The dad and those guys in the surgery outfits. And I was like,
oh, yeah, why that
would
do it.
Why would you show that in the fucking trailer?
Yeah.
And this one, So I loved all the little hints at what was going to come later and shit like that, like the Hands Across America and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But if, you know, once you see that, and if you've seen a trailer, then you're like, well, okay, it sort of puts in your mind, if you don't guess it immediately, when Adelaide is going into the funhouse, that her and her tether swap places, you know, at the start of the movie, and the tether is the one who's.
So you got that.
Yep.
I did not get that at all.
Yeah.
And how, wait, so it was in the trailer that did it, or?
Yeah. there was something in the trailer that I saw, and
whenever they showed a shot like in the daytime of like them holding hands,
right? And then when they showed the Hands Across America thing on the TV, and then when she went to the funhouse, I was like, oh, they're gonna switch places. And then I was like, please don't let that be it.
Right.
And then it was, and I was like, fuck, that would have been so much better had I not known. And it's my own fault, because I've always said, that's why I said I don't want to watch trailers anymore.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah, so this was another example. But I agree 100% that Get Out's more straightforward. I he's so talented and writes. He's such a smart writer. Mm-hmm. Whether it's his comedy or doing, because he loves horror, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want him to get sort of labeled as a guy who there's always something that, you know, you're supposed to guess, or you try to find out and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read shit like, you know, it's clickbaity shit anyway, obviously, but
right.
When I read the next M. Night, I'm like, no, please. No, just
right. Right. Because he's done good stuff, but I mean, I think that, you know, yeah. And I agree with you, but I don't get that vibe from him at all, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you know, just as with Zahler, like he's done two movies and I fucking loved them both. Can't wait to see what he does next. This one, I did feel like, there's way more comedy in this one.
Yeah.
Than Get Out. And the comedy is so fucking good in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Even some of this shit's funny that you're not even, I don't think, supposed to be laughing at, but, you know, like, it's just funny. But, like, there are jokes and, like, the Alexa thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Call the police. Fuck the police.
That was so fucking good. Like, there's so much in this movie that's hilarious, and the characters are so, it's funny. It's like, I loved the characters. I loved their white friends. Like,
yeah.
All that shit was so fucking. And I loved the husband.
Winston Duke, yeah.
Yeah, he was so fucking. He was so good.
Yeah, I like when he, like, drops his voice. It was like, we about to have a problem. It's a call, police.
Yeah. But, like, not to say that this is a funny movie, but I'm just saying, like, there are certainly moments, because it's goddamn creepy.
Yeah.
Like, when it's supposed to be, because holy shit. The movements of the characters, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say it, man, right now, after Toni Collette got fucking robbed.
Yeah.
If Lupita Nyong'o if she doesn't get at least a nomination, man, fuck all that shit forever.
Yeah.
She is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And she plays two characters.
Yeah.
And they're both amazing. Like, it's like,
yeah. No, absolutely right.
Good and she job. Does.
And they're completely separate. And I mean, it's, she does an amazing job. Yeah.
I saw an interview. I don't remember which show it was on. It may have been like Seth Meyers or something that Jordan Peele was on, but he was like, yeah, he was like, they were talking about her and he's like, yeah, she was creepy as shit. He's like, you know, he'd have to walk into her trailer or something, like, you know, to tell her, you know, to talk to her about something or ask her about craft services. And she'd be in there in character as Red and, like, doing the voice and everything.
I'd be like, you know what? I'll hit you up later.
That's exactly what he said. He's like, all right, I'm going to talk to you later. Then.
Yeah. No. Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, even just like the you know, the scene where they're all comparing their kill counts. Like, I know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I killed both. I killed the twin. Like,
right.
But, yeah, I mean, it was, I don't have a problem if I don't, like, understand something. That's fine. Like, I mean, it depends, right? Like, when I'm watching, I mean, I kind of tweeted this out. You know, I'm in the process of, I have one movie left. I'm rewatching all the Marvel movies prior to, my wife and I were going to watch Infinity War, and then we'll be set for Endgame. And so I've seen Age of Ultron, I don't know how many times. That whole scene with Thor and the pool and the how he decides to fucking light up Vision and make a man, make a mandroid. Mm-hmm. I still, as many times as I've seen that, I do not understand it. Nope. And I feel like I don't understand it because it was just really poorly done.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to this, where maybe I don't understand it because I'm just what I was, my head was in one way. You know, I was looking over here because I was too focused on this thing over here, or, you know, there's just multiple levels and I'm just not kind of looking at it that way.
That's the difference, right? Like no matter how many times you watch Age of Ultron, that's never going to make sense. This movie, I feel like the more you watch it, the more you're going to notice things, the more things you're going to make sense.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't even pay attention to the, and I guess I should have, because, you know, I read shit when it's on screen, but like the Bible verse and shit.
Yeah.
Never even occurred to me that that was important anyway. I don't know why. But then I started reading shit and I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, right.
That's okay. Now I want to watch it again. And
I can't wait to watch it again.
Just to see what I can pick out that I completely missed this time. And I swear to God, like, I go into shit like this, be like, all right, you have to pay attention to everything.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
So do I. I was looking at everything. And then when they did the big expedition dump, I was like, I don't get it.
Yeah. I didn't expect that. I thought it was going to be kind of left up to interpretation or maybe it was going to take.
Viewings. I had read in a review that was like one of the kind of, you know, things they didn't like about it was that they took that route.
Yeah. I mean, and like, I almost kind of wish it hadn't too. Like, I can see that. I don't want to say it's a criticism, but like, I can honestly, I mean, I'm fine either way, obviously, but I kind of think I would have enjoyed that almost a little more. Just, I don't know. So, you know, I don't want you to tell me what it was, because I want to come up with it in my own, and maybe what I come up with is completely off base, or maybe what my twisted brain comes up with is as far in left field as possible. But like, that's kind of the fun in some of these movies, I think.
Right. I mean, we've talked about this, you know, before, but I feel like to some degree, it's kind of like when you start talking about time travel, right? Like the best thing Looper did was the conversation they're doing about time travel. And they make it a 30-second conversation. It's basically Bruce Willis going, it gets complicated.
Right.
It's like, just don't even open yourself up to some that kind of ability for somebody maybe to start going, wait, what?
Yeah.
So there is definitely value in maybe not explaining too much, because then like you get somebody like me who's just like, wait a minute, hold on, what kind of school system y'all got, you know, like like just completely stupid shit, but it just happens to be what your brain ends up kind of hooking onto. So I read something and I'd like your opinion on it, and we're not going to completely spoil it, but I read a theory that the kid had also at one point been switched with his double.
Yeah,
I'm not sure about that.
I don't think so. I think he most certainly realized what happened with.
Yeah.
With Red and Adelaide, obviously. But no, I think that was kind of intentionally done to kind of make you think, because that's why she was so scared when he disappeared on the beach for a little bit.
Right.
Because she was afraid that he would figure out, you know, that she had, or somehow, you know what I mean? Like,
or just maybe had been taken in the same way that she had. Like, she knew, hey, this thing was there. It's right here. If I got taken, then so he could too.
Right. Well, I mean, but she was the double. So
right. Yeah, so, but I don't think she would have. Here's the thing: she was a double, but she wouldn't.
That's
want.
Also her kid. Right. Right.
It's
right,
it's
right.
Her kid, but also
right.
She doesn't want. She got out. She doesn't want anything that would.
That's what I was saying.
That.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. That's what I was kind of trying to get at, is that she was so worried that I don't. Yeah, you're right. Or my thought on it was that because she doesn't know what real Adelaide is. Had going on down there.
Right.
And if she would be able, like, he would see her and be like, holy shit, and she'd be able to be like, hey, I'm, you know, I got switched in this, like, I don't know, and, like, yeah. jeopardize her existence, I guess.
Right.
But no, I don't think that happened.
I don't think so either. I mean,
it was like a cool little red herring or something like that, like to give you something, especially upon, you know, watching it after the reveal, you could be like, oh shit, what if that did happen?
Right.
But I don't think it did.
Yeah. I don't either. I mean, I think it was, I mean, when I read kind of what people had said, I was like, okay, I see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
With it. I don't buy it.
Mm-mm, I don't either.
But I mean, yeah, it was, you know, it was really well done. And I saw somebody on Twitter say something, and a bunch of people push back, which I was really glad to see. Is, you know, this, oh well, you know, this fucking bullshit idea that horror is something to be ashamed of. But you know, if you want to go see something like Us, it's fine because it's elevated horror. Mm. And I fucking hate that idea because. Yep. You know, a good movie is a good movie. There are plenty of non-horror movies. Like, you trying to tell me Schindler's List wasn't a fucking horror movie?
Right.
I mean, yeah. Come on. Like, you don't have to segregate certain emotions that a film can make you feel simply because you have your own bias against a particular genre of movies. Mm-hmm. So to put it as some kind of, you know, bullshit, like, oh, it's elevated. It's a good fucking movie.
Yep.
Who gives a shit what genre it belongs in, you know? Right. I mean, there's plenty of, you know, there's plenty of period pieces or romances or comedies or whatever. You don't feel the need to be like, oh, no, like, don't worry, because, you know, it's an elevated comedy. Nobody says that.
Right, exactly.
You know, like, it's also fine to just like stuff. Like, you don't have to have excuses for why you like something. If you like it, if it spoke to you, if it was well done, who gives a shit? Yeah. You know, and I fucking drives me crazy.
Oh, that, me too.
It does. Right. That, you know, you feel like you need to, first of all, that you would need to justify to anybody why you would like something that you like.
Yep.
Who cares? But also, you know, that we need to, motherfucking day and age, you know, year of our Lord, 2019, we have to make excuses for horror. Horror movies have been around forever.
Jesus, man. I mean, when Nosferatu.
Exactly. Shit, like, I mean, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
But, and you know, people were like, no. Fuck that. Fuck this. Fuck you. It was like that gif with the cat that's like, fuck me.
Yes.
Like,
yes. Fuck this thing in particular. Yeah.
Right, exactly. My favorite one of things like that, and I don't know where I saw it, but it was like a picture of a lightning strike that had just been taking in a way. It was like over like Tampa Bay or something like that.
Mm.
And it was a lightning strike that had split and like hit the water in like six different places. And somebody put the caption, fuck these six fish in particular. And that just always makes me laugh. but when you talk about trailers, man, I hadn't seen it. I'm so fucking pissed off. Up until fucking this movie, I wasn't fucking this movie, that came out weird. Up until seeing this movie, I had not seen the latest full trailer for Pet Sematary, otherwise known as the entirety of Pet Sematary.
Yeah, no, I didn't watch any of them yet.
Oh my god! Like, I read the book. I know what happens, but it's been a minute. Yeah. I was in like fucking middle school.
Right.
This last trailer. I mean, why the fuck would you go? Why would you go through the process of explaining everything?
Yeah, and then the outrage over the changes. If you exist on the internet and at all and around horror, that's been ruined for you too. I know what the change is, and I haven't even seen a trailer. So
see, I don't know. I don't know about the changes because I don't remember seeing the original movie. I think it was like a miniseries. I don't even know if it was a movie.
It was a movie.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Yeah.
And it's been a minute since I read the book, but I saw enough of the trailer that I was just like, it took all the wind out of my sails because I was like super psyched to go see it. Now I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm gonna still. Well, so we could talk about it, but my excitement of it has definitely gone down because I'm like, all right, well, I kind of know, you know, I feel like I know what's going to happen, or at least the major beats.
Right, right. So it hasn't been that long since I watched the original and the sequel, and I read the book.
There's a sequel?
Yeah, there's a part two. Yeah, Edward Furlong's in it, and the only reason to watch it is because Clancy Brown is fucking batshit nuts in it, and it's amazing. The movie itself isn't very good, but Clancy Brown is goddamn hilarious in it.
Hmm. When did the original come out? That was like
89.
I was going to say, that was a while ago.
Yeah, and the sequel's like maybe 93, 94, something like that.
But
I'm so excited to see it because I fucking love Starry Eyes, and like I'll watch anything those guys do.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, for me, the next thing I'm like excited about is Shazam. I know them. I mean,
oh shit, man! There's some big shit like right around the corner though.
There's a
like,
lot of stuff.
Hellboy is this week, next week, something like that.
It's my wife's birthday, so
okay.
That's going to be a tough one for me to pull off, but. I'm not, I mean, that weekend, but, you know, afterwards. And then, yeah, and that new fucking Godzilla trailer.
Didn't watch it. Don't want to know.
All I can tell you, it's worth watching because it's only a minute. The one that I posted in Discord, it's only a minute. It won't really tell you anything about the movie. What it is anybody who was like, well, they didn't show Godzilla and Godzilla. And I can use that voice because that was me. They're like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. Who's next? It's just full on. It's just, it's monster porn. It's just nice. 60 seconds of just full on, like, giant monster porn. It's fucking amazing. Like, you're okay to watch it. Like, you are absolutely okay to watch it.
I don't want to even see any of the action before I see it on the screen.
And that's the thing. It's not, you know, and I get it. I totally get it. It's not like it, you know, there's no like plot point. It's just mostly like, here's this monster. Here's that monster. Oh, what, you think we weren't going to have this monster? Well, here he is. And you're like, oh, shit. You know, like, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really do feel like it was there to just be like, hey, heard you didn't like my, you know, we heard you had a problem with the monsters we had. Well, here's the fucking monsters.
Yeah. Oh, it's probably like, it's a strong contender for my favorite movie of the year already, and I haven't even seen it. Just based on how much I fucking loved it, the first one.
Yeah, and I, you know, for me, I was very much just like, how are you going to have a Godzilla movie when you're going to have Godzilla in it? Like, I, you know, and...
Well, I mean, yeah, but to watch the old ones, I mean, that's... Watch the original Godzilla, that's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, but Godzilla, we've come shows a bit, up at like, the end. Right? Like, I mean, they didn't have Godzilla because it was a dude in a suit, and he's like, I'm hot. You know? Like, we're not at that point, so
you're right.
Spend a little
I
money.
I agree, but, you know, I fucking loved it. Yeah. I felt like when he was on the screen, it made up for... Every bit of him not being on screen earlier, because it was fucking amazing.
Maybe I, you know, Kong Skull Island just spoiled me, or I'm just
that
like,
movie is fucking amazing too. So that movie's more fun every time I watch it.
Look at all these monsters. Look how much fun it is to have so many monsters.
True.
But yeah, so we got plenty to choose. I mean, just this is lots.
Yeah,
just lots to watch between now and kicking the summer, and then summer kicks into high gear. And you know, straight on till morning. On the games perspective, I think for me it's pretty much Division. I don't even know what's coming out. At some point, I'd like to play Devil May Cry 5, but
I do want to play that too. Yeah,
so. You know, whatever we do next 2 weeks, which I think Shazam would definitely fall into that because that comes out.
Yeah, Shazam and Pet Sematary are both on March.
April 5th.
April 5th, sorry, yeah.
Yeah. We'll definitely have to figure out how we're going to. I mean, I'll take my kids to see Shazam.
Yeah.
Pet Sematary, probably not so much.
No.
But whatever it is we talk about next time, hopefully you'll be here with us. So this has been episode 69, the nice episode. So from myself and Mitch, thank you so much for hanging out with us. We hope you'll be with us the next time. So thank you again. Good night and have a good evening.